I'm Holly.
And I'm Bridget.
And this
is Girls Next Level.
Welcome back to Girls Next Level, everyone. We are back. We are finally in Paris.
And you know it because they show the Eiffel Tower.
Yep. Gotta let you know.
And other landmarks.
Yeah, for sure. And one thing I loved about this part of our trip is we got to stay in Paris for 4 days, which is only because I begged for that, though. Because initially, we were going to be in London for 4 days, and then every other stop on the trip was like 1 day, maybe two. So it was like bouncing around. But I'd wanted to go to Paris my whole life. I had this whole list of things I wanted to do. So I begged Mary, which is like begging Hef by proxy.
Yeah.
And we finally got to stay 4 days. And that's one thing I'm really grateful for, because he didn't have to do that. And usually, like, I know from outside perspectives, it looks like Hef was just lavishing all this stuff and opportunities on us. And it wasn't really that way. I feel like when I got opportunities, it was more just because I happened to be downwind of something Hef wanted to do. Like, he wants to do a show and E wants it to be about the girls. So that turns into an opportunity. But it was very rarely like things were given out of like the kindness of his heart in my case, I felt. But this was one of the cases. So I'm really grateful for it, because he didn't have to stop there for 4 days. He could have just said, no, we're staying one, fit in what you can.
Yeah. I'm so glad we did, though, because we got to do so many things.
Me too. And a lot of it was stuff we couldn't even film.
Yeah.
It was just what I wanted to do.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's one thing I'm really grateful for.
So it opens up with you in an interview saying, when we arrived in Paris, I was so excited. The city was amazing. You got that romantic vibe right away because you're all into the romance.
Oh, yeah. And I noticed that later in things about this Paris episode, where they're having me say what my favorite things were that weren't my favorite things, because my theme has to be romance. But in reality, we went from London to Cannes first. And you'll see Cannes in the next episode of the show, because they show it out of order. But in reality, we went from London to Cannes to Paris, and we were team no sleep.
Zero, you guys.
When we arrived in Paris, because according to our schedule, which I, of course, looked at ahead of time and tried to plan everything out, we were leaving Cannes at night, but arriving in Paris with enough time to where we could have got like a good at least 5 hours of sleep before starting our day. But something happened where either that schedule was inaccurate or we had delays or something like that. And we got to the hotel maybe like an hour before we were set to go sightseeing. And we couldn't push off sightseeing because our schedule was so packed that there just wasn't room for that. So I was in pain that morning. Like, I so desperately want to go out and sightsee, but I was like ready to die because we hadn't slept. And I remember Joe from security was like, get with it, you're in Paris. And you're like, you know what, you're right, I am. I'm gonna snap myself out of it. But it's hard for me when I don't get enough sleep. Like, I don't operate really.
Yeah. Well, it shows us in the limo all dressed up arriving, but that is not how it went down. We arrived, like Holly said, in the middle of the night. I want to say it was like 2 or 3 in the morning or something like that. It could have even been later.
I think it was later because there was not time to sleep at all. And we left early morning for like the catacombs.
Yeah. And I remember pulling up, and we're pulling up to Paris and this beautiful hotel in front of us, and like the concierge and general manager and PR people for the hotel are like standing outside to greet us all chipper, and we were just dragging ass. We were just like, just get us to our bed. Oh my God. It was tough.
We stayed at the Georges Cinq, which ended up being my favorite hotel ever anywhere in the world. And since then, when I've gone back to Paris, I've never tried a different hotel. I always stay there, which I'm sure there are other really amazing hotels in Paris that I would love and I'm probably missing out on. But also, I don't go to Paris very often, so yeah. I don't want to miss the chance to stay at my favorite hotel. So it's like, I may be missing out, but I kind of don't care.
Yeah.
It's my comfort zone. It's a really special place. And do you remember that later on at our time in Paris, they took us down to the wine cellar and showed us the wine cellar. And it's really cool because it's made out of tunnels they used to use in World War II.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's cool.
Too bad they couldn't film down there.
So on the show, according to the show, we arrive at the hotel in Paris and it cuts to us in our amazing suite. And Hef and I are looking out the window, and below the window, there's like a terrace and there's a whole wedding party down there. So we're yelling down at the wedding party. They're yelling back up at us, hey, when are you guys getting married? And I thought, do you think they knew who we were? Because if they didn't know who we, I mean, I guess everybody kind of knows who Hef is, but I'm like, if they didn't know who we were, we would look like grandpa and granddaughter. So like, were they being smartasses?
I think they had to have known it was Hef.
I would think so. And they do this funny thing where, you know, the people yell up at us, when are you guys getting married? And it cuts to my confessional interview. And I say, that's what I'm always saying. And they do this funny cut where Hef like slams the window shut and bolts it. Like he doesn't want to hear it, which in reality, that's not how it went down. But I do think it's a funny edit. And all that happened on day three when we were in Paris, that we would end up going to Versailles. And that's kind of the one out of order thing they show. But in reality, no, we arrived at the hotel probably 5 or 6 a.m. butt crack of dawn, and we were off to the catacombs bright and early.
I have two things to add about this, though. Number one, our room was so gorgeous that I think the cameras don't even do it justice, but it's so beautiful.
Yeah, they really don't do like a panning shot of like, wow, this room's great, the way they do in London and Barcelona, which is weird to me because this was, I think, the best hotel suite.
It's weird to me that they don't do it even more for even the ones like Barcelona and London. Like, I feel like these rooms are so incredible that they should have done a full room sweep when they did it, just to like show the people like how amazing these rooms are.
They could have had some bonus content that would have been a cute like DVD feature.
Yeah, I would have given a tour.
Yeah, I can picture it because you know how like the graphics on the DVD, it reminds me of like an early 2000s video game or something. I can see it now, just like what the graphic would be, like a clue map, and you'd click on it and it would show like a tour of something.
I love it. But also when Hef is shutting that window and like locking it up and stuff, I feel like he was so anti like a window open. Even at the mansion.
Which is weird because didn't you say the very last party you went to when Hef didn't come down, his bedroom window was cracked and you were like, wait, something's off.
Yeah, you guys, I think I mentioned this before, but when I was at the Midsummer party in 2017 and Cooper was throwing it and Hef was still alive, but it was literally like a month and a half before he died. And it was like, he wasn't at the party, of course, but I looked up at his room and the window was open and I thought that was really weird. And I was trying to like figure out what that meant. Was he like so sick that he needed like fresh air and ventilation in the room? Or is it that he knew the party was going on and he at least wanted to hear it? Either way, it's crazy sad. And it just gave me a very eerie vibe that his bedroom window was open like that. Cause I just know he's not into open windows.
It's really eerie. Or like he had some weird kind of sickness where the doctor was like, absolutely, you need ventilation.
Yeah.
Even though he's sick, gives me chills. So before we tell you a little bit about our activities that we went and did, I think we have to tell you about our tour guide, Joseph, who we loved. So Joseph was our tour guide that was booked to show us around this whole trip. He's an Irish guy, lives in France, obviously speaks fluent French, knows all the things. And he was just so much fun. We had so much fun with him. And I've used him since, like on, you know, subsequent trips to Paris and stuff. And there was one time too when I went and I did not book a tour guide, but I was at Versailles. And I always think of him because obviously he gave us our first tour there. And, you know, he was telling us all these things. And I would hear certain things in his voice, you know, like when I'm walking by certain things. And then I walked into a room and he was there. It's like I manifested him. And I know he's a tour guide. That's what he does for a living. But also Versailles, I know it's also a popular tourist attraction, but it's like 20 minutes outside of Paris. So I wouldn't think it's like the thing he does every day. And it was still like a weird coincidence to me that he was there.
It is still weird because there's a million different things that you can go visit in Paris. And what are the chances that he would be in Versailles on the day you were there at the same time?
And we cross paths because that's a huge
attraction. I do think it's weird. I think it's very weird.
I felt like I manifested him.
But we loved him. Like if I went back to Paris and wanted to do all the tour stuff, I would totally look him up.
He's so fun and funny.
Yeah.
And I had wanted to see the first place to go, the catacombs, since I was in like sixth grade. I saw it in National Geographic and I felt like I really wanted to go there. It's where they put all the bones from the old cemeteries and graveyards in Paris when they ran out of land and needed room to bury people. So it's these tunnels underground. And I feel like that attraction has got so much more popular since we went. Like, obviously, we were going with a tour guide, so he knows like the good times to go and not have to wait in line and things like that. But you drive by there now, drive by the entrance, the lines wrap all the way around. Like, it's insanity. And I feel like that's a thing with so many attractions ever since like Instagram got popular and TikTok. It's like everything's crowded now, which I love it that these businesses I love are thriving. Like that's amazing. But it sucks when you kind of like remember back in the day when it was just easy to roll up to stuff or like you could make a reservation that day and now your favorite restaurant is packed out. And it's not just social media. I think it's like post pandemic too, because everybody was so cooped up for so long that one thing I noticed when everything opened up again is that old restaurants that I used to be able to just like make a reservation on OpenTable that day, now they're like super hard to get into. And it's like, that's annoying.
Well, and of course I wanted to go to the catacombs because
it's morbid.
Yeah. I'm all into that stuff. And it didn't disappoint.
Yeah, it's really cool. And it's
but like, I feel like I should be telling people, don't do it. Don't go.
Well, don't go to the real catacombs because these are real catacombs, but they're set up for visitors. Like it's safe to go. And there's other catacombs in Paris where people will like lure you down there and you'll get lost. And they'll like, they'll lure you down there so they can steal your shit. And then you're lost and can't get out. Like people die down there.
Oh, well that, I was kidding. I was just saying because the lines are so long, like, oh, don't go. It sucks. Oh, yeah. You shouldn't go. It's real dead down there.
But also don't go to the real catacombs because that's like bad news. And there's like all kinds of crazy shit like you'll find down there. Like people live down there. Like it's
I've heard. Yeah.
Nutty.
And there's a movie. I think I sent it to you.
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet.
It was really good. It's like a scary movie and it takes place down in the catacombs. And it looks like they really filmed it down there. I mean, they probably did not, I would think, but it looks like it. It really looks like it.
Zach filmed down there once. He went to like the real catacombs, like not the safe ones. And he said it was freaky. Like you could really like get lost and die.
Holy crap. I just read that the average dieter will try 162 diets over the course of their lives. Oh my God. That is why I do not believe in dieting. I mean, I believe in moderation. And I also believe that some people need a little extra help, but I don't think crazy diets are where it's at. And I think that a lot of the weight loss products are just temporary and you end up gaining it all back, but not when you visit Sono Bello. Sono Bello is the only way to permanently lose unwanted fat and inches. Sono Bello doctors are masters in microlaser fat removal. Wherever you have stubborn fat, tummy, sides, thighs, arms, smile because it's going away permanently in one visit. Ask about their modern techniques to eliminate sagging, loose skin. Sono Bello gives you curves back permanently. No more feeling embarrassed, shy, and uncomfortable about your body. No more hiding in baggy clothes. No more lights off, darkened room, pretending it's more intimate.
Give yourself the gift of a full body reset. You deserve to be happy. Schedule your free consultation. Learn all about microlaser fat removal. Sono Bello is running a great special right now. Visit sonobello.com/next level. Sono, BELLO.com/next level.
Did you feel like that they were haunted at all?
I mean, I feel like back then I wasn't as aware. I wasn't as tuned in. I couldn't just like walk into a place like I feel like I kind of can a little bit now and be like, oh, this has a vibe. But also it just is so freaky and,
yeah,
you know, just deathly down there. I feel like you're automatically in the mood for that.
I was definitely in the mood for that.
Heavy.
But I didn't feel it.
Really?
Mm-mm. I'm not saying it's not haunted. I mean, how could it not be?
Yeah.
Almost. But I definitely didn't feel it that day.
Interesting.
I just felt like it was actually, I thought it was very beautiful.
It really is. Yeah.
And
it's very artfully done.
Yeah. And I thought it was kind of amazing. And I did not feel creeped out or like it was haunted or anything like that. Not saying it isn't. I think there are people that have had experiences down there. I've had stories on my podcast about it. But yeah, I didn't feel it there.
Yeah, it's interesting. The ceilings are very low. Like we went with Steven, our makeup artist, and he's very tall. And I remember he like had to duck and not hit his head.
Oh, yeah. That's the other thing I wanted to add because it's poignant for when he comes on our podcast later and stuff. Steven came and was doing all the sightseeing with us. He was on all the sightseeing in London. And now we told him he should come with us on this morning to like hang out and go to the catacombs and sightsee. Because otherwise, if we're busy, he's just by himself.
Yeah. After the catacombs, we went to the Louvre And we raced around to try and see the highlights.
We were in a rush at the Louvre too. Were we running out of time?
No, it's just that the Louvre is so gigantic. So he was doing the thing where he takes us to see like the three highlights everybody sees, which is Mona Lisa, Winged Victory, and then there's another one, I forget. But he was doing that for us so we could just kind of pop in and vaguely see the Louvre before we moved on to the next thing. But we had like a quick lunch at Cafe Marley, which is near there, and then went in and did that quickly. But the most memorable part was definitely the Mona Lisa, because we go into the Mona Lisa room, it's packed, and all of a sudden I smell the worst fart I have ever smelled in my life. Like, this would singe your nose hairs.
Yes.
And I shit you not, I don't know what happened. I don't know if I touched my nose maybe or something, but I spontaneously got a nosebleed. So I'm like tilting my head back because I don't have any like paper or anything on me to like stop it. And James, the photographer behind me, didn't know what was going on. He just saw me tilt my head back and he was joking. And he goes, oh, was that fart so bad it gave you a nosebleed? And I go, yes, it did, for real. So I'm racing around.
Wait, can I interject too?
Yeah.
So then Joseph, our tour guide, he was racing around with us all day. Like, we're running through the catacombs. Now we're running through the Louvre. We're like just on a mission. And all day long, he was like sweaty, and especially like his upper lip. And he had this little handkerchief and he was always patting his upper lip. And it was just like a thing he would do. And then
he hands me his little sweat-soaked handkerchief. I'm like, no. So I'm running to the bathroom.
Like, yeah.
And of course, there's long lines in the bathroom. And in Europe, they don't have as many paper products generally. So there's not like I remember like noticing there's no seat covers or paper towels. So I'm like running.
Yeah, we were trying to get you paper towels.
Toilet paper. Kendra's like, put a tampon up there. Like, we're just trying to figure anything out. Steven's panicking, trying to hand me his beanie. I'm like, no, I'm not gonna ruin your beanie. But it was a moment in time. And I can't ever think of the Louvre or Mona Lisa without thinking of the fart that gave me a nosebleed.
Every time I think of the Mona Lisa, I think of the fart.
Yeah.
And it was so bad. So bad.
Really bad.
Like, somebody needs to go check their shorts on that one.
100%.
It was awful.
So after the Louvre, we went back to the hotel to change, and Hef had a Taschen book signing. Taschen was a publisher that made like some Playboy coffee table books. So
they make beautiful books.
They really do. Are they still in business?
I think so.
Okay. So we went to the Taschen book signing, and after that, we went to dinner at L'Avenue, which you see on the show. And I was wondering, is that the only place they would let us film? I only asked that because I've seen it on other shows like the Kardashians and stuff. So like, is that just an easy go-to place that lets people film?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. But that would be a good question for one of the producers that we might have on later.
Yeah, absolutely. I love getting excited about food when we travel. I love seeing like cool foods on Instagram. I know I just complained about how social media blows everything up and makes it popular, but I am on the other end of that as well, where I do get a lot of recommendations from social media. So,
oh yeah, there's good and bad with it.
Yeah, totally.
Like, bad when your favorite places or the places you really want to go are all booked up or like a tourist nightmare, but also good when you find a new spot that you're like, I gotta try this.
Like some new things. I mean, I don't know if this one place I'm about to mention is new, but I didn't know about it since the last time I've been to Paris. Is I want to go to Corée, where they serve the hot chocolate with the big bowls of whipped cream. Ooh. And have you seen the giant croissants that they're selling now? Like the ones that are bigger than your head?
I've seen the one in New York.
They do them in Paris too. And people are getting them for like their tourist pictures because it's fun. But I want to go do that.
That sounds amazing.
You know what I stocked in Paris for like several years? I would go and always try to find these. And I forget the name of the bakery. I wish I could remember it. But I saw pictures of it on Instagram, and there were these little candy pastry pigs, and they were so cute, and they would make every pig to look unique. Like, one would have Harry Potter glasses and they'd all look a little bit different. But for a couple of years when I would go, it was always in August when everybody was on their vacation, or in July. So that place was always closed. Like, I would stock it down, but I finally got it the last time I went, because I went in March, and I got one of those pigs. But it turned out like I didn't really like it because it was like fruitcake inside. And then the pink skin was fondant. But it was so cute.
Yeah, they sound cute.
I love cute food.
Do you have a photo of it?
I can find it and put it on Patreon, or I'll put it on Instagram or something, because I know I posted it in my stories.
Yeah, I want to see it. But did you notice that there's somebody missing at this point in our trip?
Yes. Yes, I think we should get to that a little later, though, because it's kind of like a cluster topic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we're at L'Avenue, we're eating, and I'm talking about how, and I can see myself in the scene, like all excited and lit up, because I can like translate the menu. So if anybody has a question, like, what is this? Like, I can answer that. You don't have to like wait for the waiter to come back.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited about it in the scene. And in confessional interview, I'm talking about how it makes me feel useful. And I think it comes off like I'm joking, but I really wasn't, because I think that was something I hungered for so much at that time, was like to feel useful or needed for something besides like sex or sit next to me and shut up. You know what I mean? Like, I think living at the mansion, I just felt so unuseful. And so like, I didn't really have a forum to like contribute anything that was like unique to me or my personality.
Yeah.
So I love this moment. And I feel like Hef looks grumpy in this scene. I don't know if he's grumpy because I'm lit up or grumpy because he's just jet lagged and over it. It could really be either way.
Yeah. Well, I thought your French sounded really good. And that just made me think of something else totally different. But remember when we were on like in our private van or whatever it was, and you and Joseph were talking in French, and I could understand you guys. But it was a weird thing, you guys. So like, her and Joseph were having full conversation in French, and I don't speak any French. But somehow, and I was able to understand, like, I knew the gist. I didn't know every word. I couldn't sit there and like, translate or anything like that. But I knew the gist of what you guys were talking about. Like, I knew that you were talking about, I don't even remember now, but like, whatever it was. And I think you made a comment, oh, like, I feel like we're leaving Bridget out of the conversation or something. Like, she doesn't know what we're talking about. And I'm like, no, I know you're talking about blah, 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 blah.
I remember that now that you say that. Yeah.
And you go, what? And you're like, wait. So, and then he was like, oh, you speak French too? And I'm like, no, but I don't know. I just knew what you were
psychic
saying.
Connection.
Maybe.
I think so.
Somebody messaged me the other day and said, I think you and Holly have a psychic connection.
Probably.
And I was like, you're probably right.
Yeah.
Think
totally.
Right.
So Mary is the first to get served dessert at this restaurant, and she gets this giant eclair that looks like a dick. And we all end up getting it, but somehow it's like the joke that Mary gets it.
Yeah. And she says, she has a funny comment. She's like, where's the switch to turn it on?
Oh my God. She is so funny. Like, as shy as she was and as much as she didn't want to be on camera, she's so funny.
Yeah.
So then after dinner, we go to the Crazy Horse, which is this legendary cabaret in Paris. It's really cool. And it's fun for me to watch this because this is the first time we went to the Crazy Horse. And we went because Hef's brother Keith loved it, and he would always talk it up. And he's like, we have to go there. So we went. And it's funny for me watching this back because I feel like, oh, this is the very start of the next phase in my life. And I didn't even realize it.
Yeah.
Because like, I'd loved burlesque before then, but Crazy Horse was really the thing that made me want to do it. And then of course, when I leave the mansion, I end up doing my own show in Vegas. And it's just funny to watch it back because you see like the start of like the next phase of your life, but I wasn't even aware of it at the time.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
But Crazy Horse is so good. It made me want to feel like I want to do it. Like, I want to be a dancer in the show. Like, it's just that good. Like, you really love it.
Yeah. There's something very special about it. I can't even pinpoint what it is.
And remember the soundtrack too? Like,
yeah.
The soundtrack is really, really cute. And Holly wanted it so bad. And you were like searching everywhere. I remember you and Crystal both were like, Crystal Camden, were both like searching for it everywhere. And it just didn't exist. Like, they didn't release the soundtrack.
Yeah.
And for, I don't remember if it was your birthday or Christmas, but I think it was your birthday for your Marie Antoinette birthday, probably.
You got me the CD from them.
Yeah, I had them. I contacted the people that put the show on. And I was like, Holly really loves the soundtrack. Is there any way? And they sent me a recording of it.
That's so
awesome. Now you can probably get it.
Yeah, I made an iTunes playlist at some point because they eventually came out with a soundtrack, which doesn't have every song, but then I could like track down the songs that were.
Yeah.
I don't even know. That was like several computers ago at this point. So I don't know if I even have that. If people want me to share the playlist, I'm not sure I have it, but I did at some point.
Yeah.
But that was a really good gift for sure. The Crazy Horse gave us a ton of B-roll to use, which was really nice. So that's a really visual scene. Did you ever see the bathroom stall in there where they have two toilets next to each other?
I don't think so.
Yeah. In the women's bathroom, one of the stalls has like two toilet seats. Like, it was like a joke. Like, women always go to the bathroom together.
Yeah, I was going to
sit there and take a shit and talk.
I was going to say, it makes sense.
And I remember when we were given our schedule for this day, it said, you know, you're going Crazy Horse. At the end of the show, and it said on the schedule, at the end of the show, Hef can get up on stage with the Crazy Horse dancers, but in capital letters, it goes, not Girls Next Door.
I was like,
oh, guess we're not welcome.
I saw that. And it did actually make me feel like we weren't so welcome. Like that Hef was welcome at the show, but not so much us.
Yeah. And that's really weird. Like, I wonder why. Because since then, they've always been super welcoming and like would take pictures backstage and stuff and do like the whole photo op. And but I wonder why that was at that point. It's really weird.
I don't know. I feel like maybe it had something to do with the cameras and filming us being on the stage.
Maybe.
Like, and then, I don't know, because we're not the dancers. Maybe they have like a rule, like it's the dancers only unless it's like a celebrity or something. I don't know, something like that.
Yeah, it's interesting. So after that day, the next day, which you don't see on camera at all, was completely blocked off for Disneyland Paris.
Yes.
Which is interesting and another like cool thing I'm grateful for because we didn't have to stay that extra day, but I really wanted to go to Disneyland Paris. And it's funny on the schedule, it just says, Holly goes to Disneyland Paris. Others welcome to join if you want.
Yeah.
And you went with me.
Yeah. But then at the bottom, it says, Keith, Date, and Kendra will not be joining.
Oh, yeah. Like they made it clear they did not want to go. I wonder what they all did that day or what Kendra did because Hef came and met us at the very end.
Mm-hmm. I think Hef had press.
Yeah. But like.
But I don't know what everybody else did.
Yeah.
I probably knew at the time, but I don't know now.
Yeah. So we went. It was super fun. It was the first overseas Disney park I got to go to.
You guys know my favorite game is June's Journey. You can play it on your phone, anywhere you are. It's so relaxing, yet intriguing and just challenging enough. It involves the main character, June Parker. She is out to solve a mystery. And you guys know I love mysteries. Also, it's set in the glamorous culture of the 1920s, which I also love. You know what else I love? Decor. And you can also explore and build your own vivid scenarios. You can build your own island estate. It's so amazing. I love it. When I get tired of scrolling social media and seeing stressful comments and things like that, I love to relax and enjoy myself with June's Journey, customizing my very own luxurious island estate, letting my imagination run wild, decorating, collecting scraps of information to fill my photo album, learning more about each character, chat and play with or against other players by joining the Detective Club. This game has everything I love. I'm about to go on a trip next week, and I know I'll be playing June's Journey when I'm waiting for my flights. Can you crack the case? Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
What do you remember about that park and what do you like about it compared to the other parks?
The one thing I love about it that I remember the most is that it was very kind of, it focused on the more goth side of things. Like it was a darker park than the rest of them that I've been to. And I loved that. And I loved the look of the Haunted Mansion.
Yeah, I feel like you're right. I feel like there's a lot of skulls in that park. Like there's the big black pirate skull by Pirates of the Caribbean. And they really went hard on the Haunted Mansion.
Yeah.
And there's also like the dragon underneath the castle and the cave.
I totally remember the dragon and he like comes to life and he's like, you know, like real under there. Not real, but you know what I mean? Like, and I've not been to any other parks that have that.
Yeah, that's a really special park. I think it has the prettiest castle, it has some of the most detail, it has the best Big Thunder Mountain, it has one of the best haunted mansions. Even their Space Mountain is cool because their Tomorrowland is Discoveryland and it's all very like Jules Verne, like vintage, like almost steampunk, but not really.
Yeah.
It's special. I like it.
Yeah.
I even love like their candy store and stuff. I thought was super cute and everything.
I think I need to go back.
Yeah. They are adding a lot of stuff to like the park, the Walt Disney Studios park across the way. They're adding like a Frozen Land and all kinds of stuff. So I really want to go when that's done, but I don't know when it's going to be done. They've been building it forever.
I'm actually shocked that Hef let us go and do this.
I'm shocked we got to stay in Paris as long as we did. I'm shocked we got to do that. I'm shocked. Yeah. And he made the effort to come out, but he was very grumpy.
Yeah. He met us for dinner at the very end. And I do remember eating in like I feel like it looked like a castle inside. I'm not saying it was in the castle, but it felt very castle-like. And I remember ordering a hamburger and I was thinking I was going to get like a hamburger with like, you know, a patty and a bun and whatever. And it came and it was just a meat patty.
That's how my mom always served us hamburgers back in the day.
Just a meat patty?
Yeah.
No bun?
Yeah. Even when like me and my sister, if we see something like that, she goes, that's so mom.
But what was her reasoning for that? That was just dinner? It was just a hamburger patty?
Or? I think because we lived in Alaska and groceries were kind of scarce, I think maybe hamburger buns were kind of like a weird luxury. That's kind of my guess.
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe she was trying to cut carbs. I don't really know.
I feel like back in those days, nobody was cutting carbs. They were like, what's a carb?
Well, back then, the trend was low fat. Like everything was low fat. Everything was skim, low fat this, low fat that, low fat.
So, diet.
Yeah.
Diet so I don't soda. Know
people were as focused on carbs as they were about like low fat. But yeah, the park was amazing. You know what else I remember? When we sat down and we had pizza in the Adventureland pizza restaurant, that was the first time I noticed that in Europe, babies act like little adults, like at restaurants. They're like babies in high chairs using forks and stuff. And I'm like, oh my God, that has to be my kids. That's how I'm raising my kids.
Yeah. That's funny that you mentioned that though, because when Nick and I went to Tokyo, I dragged him to Tokyo Disney. And he was actually really enjoyed himself at Tokyo Disney. And he said, it's so different here. And the way people are with their kids and the way the kids act is completely different than at Disneyland or Disney World. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
It really is.
Like there wasn't these outbursts and like, mm-hmm. I don't know why, how that, I don't understand why, what the difference is.
Yeah, there's a lot of theories behind it. There's this book I read when the kids were little, really little. I think I've talked about it here or on the Patreon before. It's called Bringing Up Bebe.
Oh, yeah.
And it's written by an American woman who lived in and had a baby in France. And she always noticed that the behavior was so different. And she was talking about all the different reasons it's different. And it's a lot to get into here. And I probably won't even tell.
It's a whole other podcast.
Yeah, it's a whole other thing. But yeah, there's just different ways of doing things. And I think the way food is processed in America and all the additives and all the weird shit, that's in my opinion, is probably part of the problem too.
Yeah, definitely could be.
Yeah. Everything's sprayed down over here with folic acid or whatever they're spraying it with. So after Disneyland Paris, day three, we go to Versailles. We're all set to go to Versailles. But first, you need to tell me about the drama. When I was waking up and doing my makeup in my room, what was happening in your guys' room?
So I set my alarm. It went off. I got up. I went and took my shower, was having my coffee, like having a nice morning in the bathroom. And all of a sudden, Mary comes in and says, what the fuck? Why isn't Kendra up? And I'm like, I don't know why she's not up. And, you know, Kendra's just waking up because Mary came in and busted in on her and stuff. And she's like, her alarm didn't go off and she didn't wake up. And now she's running behind, running late. And I was and they're screaming at me for it. And I'm like, why is this my fault? Like, yeah. It's not my turn to babysit her. And then Kendra started screaming at me, calling me that I was being a fucking bitch.
What the fuck?
I know. And Mary, and I was like, you're just going to let her talk to me like that and call me the names like that? And Mary goes, well, if you're acting like one. And I'm like, well, since when is it my fault that Kendra won't get up in the morning?
That is weird.
And then Hef comes in and he's like, what the fuck is going on in here?
Oh my God.
And everybody's screaming and stuff. And Kendra's like, she's being a fucking bitch. And Mary's like, I just need some help out with this stuff. And I'm like, it is not my job to babysit. Like, I wasn't even thinking about what Kendra was doing or paying any attention that she overslept. I had no idea. I'm just having my shower, like sipping my coffee, starting to get ready. And all of a sudden it's a blowout and Hef comes in and he goes, I'm sending you home.
To you?
Yes. And I was like, why am I being sent home? The bitch oversleeps and I'm being sent home?
Like, what the fuck is that? Even hearing that story back, I'm like, wait, how did that escalate so quickly?
I know. And I feel like there's even more that I'm forgetting. But honestly, I had put this out of my head and only started remembering it when I was rewatching this episode, this major blowout. And I was so devastated. And then I'm like sick about it. And I'm thinking I'm being sent home and I'm being sent home because somebody else can't figure out how to use an alarm clock or get up on time. Like, how is it my fault?
Exactly. And I gotta tell you guys, if you've never experienced this before, it's a really bad feeling when your sugar daddy tries to send you home from a trip, okay? It's a thing. It also happened to somebody else on this trip went missing.
Yes.
So Keith had a date with us. And the reason they don't have me list her off in the beginning is the show pretty much cuts her out because Keith sends her home halfway through the trip. Was she already gone at this point?
Yes.
Whoa. Tell me what happened there, because you overheard something, right?
I overheard Hef and Keith talking, and Keith kind of just told me, oh, it wasn't working out. It was time she needed to go home or whatever. But I heard him telling Hef that she wasn't being intimate and nice to him in that way kind of thing.
Oh.
As in, like, romantically, yeah. You know, and that's, you know, why does she think she came on this trip and stuff, you know, and like he sent her home.
Damn, that's such a weird feeling. It almost happened to me once, and this wasn't technically a sugar daddy situation, but it was somebody who was like a decade older than me, and there was like still a power imbalance. But he took me on a trip, and he got mad at something he saw in the media that wasn't even related to me, and like took it out on me and started this big fight. And I'm sitting here like, what the fuck did I do? And he's like, should I just send you home now? Should I just send you home? And I can't explain to you how that, because you might think, okay, go home. I wouldn't want to be with that asshole. You know what I mean? But something about it feels so horrible and shameful and will like ricochet you straight back to childhood when like your parents were yelling at you about something and you just feel so powerless and weird. And like, what the fuck did I do that I'm not even worthy of like staying on this trip?
Yeah.
It's a weird feeling.
I really shut this whole thing out, and it's crazy how you can do that, because I had very little memory of it until I was rewatching it. And then I became like all upset again rewatching this, thinking like, I still don't understand what happened and how it became my fault. And I'm the one that should go home for it. I'm not the one that overslept, and I'm not the one that called somebody a fucking bitch.
Yeah.
Screaming it. And all I said that would be snarky and constitute me being sent home was, I'm not here to babysit. It's not my job to babysit her.
Yeah.
Like, I can't help it if she doesn't wake up in time. It's not my fault.
Yeah. It's crazy.
And she can't figure out the alarm. Like,
yeah, I feel like we always got the brunt of it because people expected us to like be mature and behave. And they knew that we'd been through so much more and had so much sunken cost in this whole thing. Whereas if Mary or Hef were going to turn and like yell at Kendra, she'd probably stomp, run out of the hotel and cause an international incident. You know what I mean? Not that it's okay to freak out on somebody because you think they're going to be the ones who are compliant. It still fucking sucks. But I'm trying to put myself in that headspace and be like, why did they treat us that way?
Yeah. And it's something that really now bothers me again, now that I remember it again. I'm like bothered by it. And I'm bothered that I can't remember every detail of it. Like, I don't remember even like how it got resolved, because obviously I don't get sent home. Mm-hmm. But how it exactly got resolved, I don't know. I think that everybody just kind of apologized to each other. And then Mary probably went to Hef and said, they're fine now. And then Hef was fine with that. I don't recall. That's just my guess on how it got resolved. But what's even shocking too is that you didn't even know about it, because I couldn't remember the details. So I was like, do you remember that fight Kendra and I got in? Because I thought maybe you might remember more details. And you were like, wait, what?
Yeah, because I was obviously in Hef's room, and clearly he heard about it and came running. Maybe I was
well, because he was sitting in the living room area. Oh, okay. That was like between the rooms having his breakfast.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I didn't hear it. And then it's weird because I didn't even hear about it until we were discussing this episode recently. You told me about it, and I was like, how the fuck did I not know? And I think the only reason is because, with the exception of the Disneyland day, which was the day before this happened, we didn't have any alone time on the trip. Like, I was always right by Hef's side. Like, we were always together in a group. So there wouldn't have been a moment you would have been like, oh my God, you know what fucking happened this morning?
Yeah.
And we weren't texting back then. So there was no way. So it just never came up. And then I guess we just never thought to speak about it. But it's so weird. I'm like, how the fuck did I not know that?
Did you know 1 out of 8 couples struggle with infertility? Seriously, that is a staggering statistic that most people don't know or aren't ready to talk about. And it's shocking, because when you're going through it, you feel like you're the only one. But we need good data and information about our bodies in order to have informed conversations with our doctors and make the best decisions for ourselves and our futures. That's why Modern Fertility was created. It's an easy and affordable way to test your fertility hormones at home with a simple finger prick. Mail it in with a prepaid label, and you'll get your personalized results within 6 business days. You'll get insight into your hormone levels, like your ovarian reserve, aka if you have more or fewer eggs than the average for your age, age, and important factors that can impact your fertility. The results go deep into what every hormone means, and you can also download the results to review with your doctor for the next steps. Traditional hormone testing at a fertility clinic can cost over $600. Trust me, I know, I've been there a few times. But modern fertility tests, the same general set of hormones for only $179. And if you go to modernfertility.com/next level, you can get $20 off your test. Plus, you can get reimbursed the test through your FSA or HSA. If you want kids today or maybe one day in the future, clinically sound info about your body can help you make the decision that's right for you. Right now, Modern Fertility is offering our listeners $20 off the test when you go to modernfertility.com/next level. That means your test will cost $159, which is a fraction of what it would cost in a fertility clinic. Get $20 off your fertility test when you go to modernfertility.com/next level. modernfertility.com/next level. I know it is weird. And there was never, like you said, a time to talk about it then. And then I think after the trip was over, so much stuff had happened. That it didn't even seem like we wanted to go back and revisit the naked. Like, it wasn't what I was thinking about when I thought about the whole trip.
Yeah.
And by you'll see that we get along really well after this point. And so it wasn't like weighing on my mind so heavy anymore. But thinking back on it, I get angry again. Like, why am I being treated like this? Why am I going to be sent home? I can't even wrap my head around the rationale that I'm the one that should go home.
Me either.
And all I can think of is that Mary was like wanting me to like help more with Kendra and making sure she's like getting ready on time and doing things and stuff, which I did a lot of. But so this one morning, I'm enjoying my time.
And also, like, if she had wanted that, like, she could have taken you aside earlier and be like, you know what? It's really difficult to deal with her. Do you mind, like, helping me out a little bit?
Yeah.
But it wasn't like that.
No, I was never asked.
Yeah. And also, I know people love to make excuses for Kendra because she happens to be a few years younger than me. But she'd been living at the mansion for 2 years, knew the drill, is getting paid just as much as anybody else. She's not incapacitated in any way. Like, there's no way she should have been treated like a baby.
Yeah. But that's not the only drama happening at this time, too. So when Steven, the hair and makeup artist, came with us sightseeing to the catacombs and all that kind of stuff, apparently Hef decided, even though he'd done all the tour stuff with us in London, too, Hef decided that he didn't realize that Steven had been there, even though he was there at the same time and had been going on tours with us, and got pissed and wanted to, and then decided that Steven, who is gay, and Kendra were fucking, and that Steven needed to be sent home immediately. And
that's another case of like, I mean, granted, it would be a betrayal coming from either one, but like, Kendra doesn't need to be sent home if she's, she was not fucking Steven, but like, why is Steven getting sent home if Hef thinks he's fucking Kendra? Or why are you getting sent home if Kendra can't wake up? It's weird.
Yeah. And I won't go too much deeper into all of his stories, but he has some nightmare stories. And he has some nightmare stories about how Hef treated him, how Mary treated him, things that how he was treated in Paris in general, and even getting banned from the mansion parties and all kinds of stuff. He has like tons and tons and tons of stories. And I can't wait to have him on because I think that his perspective and his story is so interesting, and from a perspective that we haven't seen or heard.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah.
So you do a very impressive job of brushing that whole thing off because we're off to Versailles.
Yeah, and I look at the photos from that day and I'm just like, I don't know. And even later where we do a boat tour and Kendra and I seem to be getting along fine. And I'm just like, even now I look back on that and think, how did I do that?
Yeah.
How?
Like, you did a really good job bouncing back.
I just think that there was no other choice.
Yeah, because we were just thrown into it and we had to.
I mean, the other choice would be go home. But then what does that really mean if you're sent home? Like, does that mean that you're packing your bags and leaving too? Because that's what I kind of thought of it as. Like, do you get sent home from this trip and then you're still a girlfriend and still part of everything?
I don't know what the answer to that is, but I would feel like, if I was in your position or it was happening to me, I would feel like if I got sent home, that meant I was done. Because how do you even go back to like day-to-day life as a girlfriend knowing you were sent home on the trip?
Right. Exactly.
That's just weird. Yeah.
And I also had this crazy, like, I mean, maybe just everyone feels like this, but I felt like everybody knew. Like, I thought you knew.
No, I had no idea.
And I thought that that everybody in security knew that, this girl's walking the line. I got my eye on her. Yeah. I'm about ready to, like, send her to the airport.
Yeah.
Even though, like, I didn't have that kind of relationship with security. I very much thought of them as friends and family, but, like, I got that vibe. And then PR, I thought, were all looking at me like, okay, here's the one we're about to, like, get rid of. And oh, so, like, no. I just felt like everybody knew.
God.
That's but obnoxious. Yeah, I look at the pictures and I watch the video and I'm like, you can't even tell. Yeah. And this was like the craziest blowout, like the second craziest blowout of my whole entire mansion career.
Wow.
If you want to call it a career.
Yeah. That's crazy. So we go to Versailles. I'm very inappropriately dressed. I'm wearing 5-inch spike heels, which is the worst thing you could ever walk in because the cobblestones out front are like the very old, like wore down, like everything in the middle, and they're all like bumpy and I could barely walk.
Yeah.
So I'm dressed very inappropriately at Versailles, and they did film us going to Versailles. They didn't have permission to film, but they were hoping they could film it and get permission later, which they never did. They even did a big scene where they had Hef drive up in a carriage.
Yeah.
So that was really cool.
And we ate at that cute little restaurant.
Mm-hmm. And then after that, we went to the Moulin Rouge. What did you think about that show?
I thought it was very what you would think of like a French like show like that, very can-can dancers, mm-hmm. very old school classic, like, you know, the red, white and blue ruffly dresses, and they fling them up and kick their legs, mm-hmm. and they like scream woo and stuff, yeah. and like very high energy impact like that, fun and touristy.
I thought it would be more like the movie. I thought it would be more little more, I don't know, just like edgy, I guess. I thought they'd like actually serve absinthe. I kind of had a different vision for what it was. I didn't think it would be as much of a like old school Vegas spectacular type of show like it was, you know?
Yeah.
So then when they're showing the Moulin Rouge on the show, they have me in confessional talking about the difference between burlesque and a strip club. Why do you think they have me doing that? Do you think they just want me to explain to American audiences why there can be titties in a non-strip club?
Yes.
Because I'm confused. I'm like, wait, why am I doing this whole like hierarchical burlesque is this and a strip club is that?
Well, because I think at this time, burlesque wasn't as a thing as it is now. Like, I feel like now everyone kind of knows, gets what burlesque is, yeah. and stuff. But I feel like back then they were like, oh, it's a striptease show, so you're a stripper. I don't think that like here we really...
Like, they think I need to clarify why we're not going in there with dollar bills and stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe. It just seems so weird to me watching it back. I'm like, this is odd.
Yeah. I thought it was odd, too. I'm like, wait. But I think that's why. I think that they just wanted, like, the regular person to, like, understand that there's a difference.
And they have this funny moment where there's a mini horse on stage and they play like a neighing sound and they focus in on Mary's frozen face.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So the horse gag continues. By the way, we were talking in the last episode. You were hitting up your friend about a sketchy horse documentary.
Oh, yeah. Let me see if I got
give you the answer of what it was.
No, but he said he thinks it's a Vice thing.
Oh, that kind of sounds like about right.
Yeah.
Interesting. So then after the Moulin Rouge, we get on the Bateau Mouche and do a river tour down the Seine. And in reality, we did this before Moulin Rouge, but I think they just have it keyed up as like the top off of our trip. And I say in confessional, my favorite part of Paris was going down the Seine. And it was not like I loved it. It was fun. Like I loved that boat tour. But I think they want me leaning into like, I'm the romantic one. And I love this boat tour because it's romantic. And also so many of my favorite things we just weren't allowed to film and it's not on the show.
Yeah.
But again, another lie in this episode. There's many of them.
And again, Kendra and I are very like eating together at a little table and like hugging and stuff. So we've clearly moved on.
I'm very impressed with the camaraderie considering what just happened.
Yeah. And we get to see the Eiffel Tower and it's all lit up and it's doing what they call bubbling,
the
right?
Champagne sparkles.
Yeah, the champagne. Yeah. And this was, if I recall correctly, this was new at that time.
I think it was, yeah.
Like it didn't do that before. So it was like a thing to see. People would line up everywhere. And to see it from the river was the best place to see it, supposedly. So yeah. We were kind of like doing the thing to do at that moment.
I remember they had a really good charcuterie board on that boat.
I'm surprised they didn't have me talking about it and showing it off.
I know, right? And then there's a moment when Kendra asks if they have fireworks for 4th of July and Joseph just about dies laughing. And I love my outfit with the captain's hat. I think it looks really good.
Yeah.
The red dress.
Yeah, it looks cute.
Yeah. So our fourth and final day in Paris is pretty much not included on the show at all. Do they even show B-roll of us at the Eiffel Tower or anything like that?
I don't think so.
So our fourth and final day in Paris, we all get up, me, you, and Kendra, we go to the Eiffel Tower, and we were supposedly had some lunch reservation at the Eiffel Tower, but I think we just grabbed like deli sandwiches or something weird.
Yeah, I think our lunch at the Eiffel Tower was like this like little stand where you grab like pre-made sandwiches and like a drink.
I think we thought it was going to be something different than it was.
Yeah, I was like, oh, not what I thought.
And our next stop.
But wait, do you remember we really wanted to go to that restaurant? At the Jules Verne, at the Eiffel Tower.
We wanted to go to a lot of the more like well-known Parisian restaurants, but they didn't book any of them because supposedly a lot of them you have to wear a dinner jacket to go. And they said, well, Hef won't wear a dinner jacket, which doesn't make any sense to me because every time we went out to dinner, unless it was like Saddle Ranch or something, he wore the same Armani suit.
Yeah.
So I don't know where that was coming from. And then when we were on the plane going out there, I complained about that and have said, oh, wear a dinner jacket. What are you talking about? Change the reservations. But it was too late to get the reservations at that point. But then I wonder, too, is that another instance of him being two-faced? Did he just not want to go to those stuffy restaurants I wanted to go to? Because who would, because I don't even know why I bought that excuse because he wore a dinner jacket every time we went to dinner.
Yeah.
It's weird.
I don't know. It's hard to say now, but that would have been cool to go to the restaurant in the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, that would have been fun. Our next stop after that was we go to the...
Wait, really quick before that stop, did we go on the carousel by the Eiffel Tower?
I don't think so.
Oh, I must have done that later when I went with Nick then.
Yeah, because we would have had cute photos.
It's so cool because the carousel and you see the Eiffel Tower behind it and you're on the carousel. They're the cutest photos.
It's cute.
Yeah.
So our next stop is we went to the Palais Garnier Opera House and it was gorgeous. But you know what I was really excited about is somebody had told me that this was the opera house that inspired Phantom of the Opera. Yeah. And you know how in Phantom of the Opera, there's that scene where he's on the boat underneath the opera house and there's like those tunnels with the rivers. Someone told me, and I feel so dumb if this isn't true, but someone told me that that was a real thing. Like they really have the water and the caves under the opera house and they can take you down there. Ooh. And so I remember we showed up at the opera house and our tour guide and asked if we could go down there. And she's like, oh no, we cannot go down there. And I was so bummed because I was fully expecting it.
Oh, that's too bad because the Paris Opera House, you guys, is so gorgeous.
Did you hear about that weird wedding?
Yeah.
Some
I'm jealous.
Was marrying like a car dealership guy and they spent like $7 million on a wedding and they had like the rehearsal dinner at that opera house and it went viral. But then people found out the guy's like on trial for shooting a police officer. So she deleted her whole accounts.
Is still on social media. Like it's incredible.
Yeah. Nuts.
Yeah. They did Versailles too. Something at Versailles. They did it at the Paris Opera House. Cause I remember thinking the Paris Opera House would be like the most beautiful place for a wedding.
Yeah. It's so stunning.
But yeah, I would have loved to have done the underwater stuff or underground stuff with the water and everything. If that were a thing.
Assuming it exists, let us know if anybody out there knows. So after that, we went with Hef to do a talk show appearance, but I'm looking at my photos and I noticed Kendra is missing after the Eiffel Tower. Did she just get tired and decide to bail?
Probably. I don't really recall.
Yeah, the trip was finally catching up to her at that point, I guess. And then after we went to the
talk
show.
But that's interesting that they don't show that. I guess because we're not filming all that stuff.
Yeah, I think that's why. But you're right. It makes me look like I can't take it and I'm so grumpy because I'm constantly taking naps in London. But the trip would catch up to everyone at some point. You know what I mean?
In
some way.
Yeah.
So after the talk show, we went back to the hotel, and that's when we were given the tour of the wine cellar, which was really cool. And then we got all dressed up, went to a Playboy licensing cocktail reception, which I don't remember anything about. And then we went to a club called the VIP room, and that's where we met Roman Polanski.
Yeah, do you remember that? Random.
It was so weird because we're sitting down and there's this guy standing up in front of us with his arms outstretched like he's Jesus on the cross.
But he was totally backlit.
Backlit.
Yeah.
So it looked so creepy. And Hef looks up all confused and he goes, Roman? It's just so weird.
Yeah.
And that was Paris.
It was. But wait, aren't there a couple other things that they didn't show? Like we went to Montmartre.
I feel like we went there the second time. Because remember the first time we went to Paris, you're like, oh, Paris didn't look like what I thought it was. So the second time we went to Montmartre. And you said, this is what I thought Paris would look like.
Okay. I thought we did it on the first trip.
No.
Okay.
So that was Paris. What are your best and worst for this episode, which is hard because this is the first time we've spent three podcast episodes on one Girls Next Door episode. So we're really reaching back. But when we first started talking about this episode, we spent almost a whole hour just talking about the cold open because there was so much in it.
Yeah. Well, for me, the worst is the blow up that we had with Kendra and then being sued. I mean,
yeah, this is really like a very high and low type of thing because I wrote down for my worst. Worst is getting sued. But the best is just also I would say the worst is all the amazing stuff we got to do that I'm bummed we couldn't include and share with everybody.
Yeah.
Because I really wish we could have. But the best is just like that amazing first trip to Europe and getting all that on camera and even like seeing Joseph, the tour guide, and Steven, and even seeing just the things we caught on camera. It reminds me of all the great stuff we didn't catch on camera. And that's so amazing.
Yeah.
What's your best?
I think, well, my best is the whole thing. I mean, being able to do a trip like this, and it's going to be probably my whole wrap up of the trip, but just being able, like, the private jets and the private tours and the private cars and the helicopters and just the whole thing.
Yeah, it was a lot of pre-planning, a lot of moving parts.
And being able to see everything like boom, 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 and having it all scheduled and almost all of it work out, like, I don't know. I just love it. And I love it when it works like that.
Yeah. And just being able to capture as much of it that we could on camera and just have those memories is really cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was our first ever trip to Paris. Super exciting.
How many times have you been since?
Like a good handful. I mean, obviously, we went another time with Hef, which you'll see in season 4. And then I went a couple times when I was in Vegas doing my show. I've gone a couple times when I was married. The most recent time I went was before the pandemic. I went and I stayed in Versailles, actually, not on the palace grounds because they didn't have that then. But I stayed like in a hotel right next to it. And I was out there for like a week. And then I also went to Germany to see Josh because that's when he was performing in Tarzan in Germany. Oh. And then we flew back to Paris and when we do the trips, like I always do the trips where I pack a million things in. And we were just like in one day, we bounced around and saw so much shit and it was so much fun. And it snowed and like snow in Paris is so magical.
That is cool.
Yeah.
How nice. I went back a few times too. I've been back with Nick like twice.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been,
It's been a minute though. I'm ready to go back again.
Yeah, it's been a long time for me.
Yeah. So we will see you guys next week for the second leg of our trip. If you like more content, please check out our Patreon at patreon.com/girlsnextlevel. And we will see you guys very soon.
Bye guys.
Bye.